Good morning, all. We'll go ahead and get started with introductions. This is the January Wolf Palm for 2022. Who do we have for nymphs?
Good morning, this is Lance Kruzik with nymphs.
And good morning, this is Melissa Gent.
How about Fish and Wildlife Service? BPA? ODFW?
Hey Chris, this is Ryan Couture.
Minto.
Colby Gonzalez, McKenzie Hatchery.
Dan Peck, Willamette Hatchery.
All right. Moving on, Tammy Mackey, I saw that you were on. Who do we have from FFU?
Hey, Chris Bell, first time research.
And then Lawrence, I see you're also on. Sorry.
This is Terry Gibbons.
And then for the note taker, I saw that Lawrence Schwabe is on from Confederated Tribes at Grand Ronde.
August.
All right. Anyone from Water Management? Okay. How about Willamette Valley Project?
Hey Chris, Greg Taylor.
Hey Chris, Chad Helms.
Morning everybody, Doug Garlitz.
PME?
Hey Chris, good morning everybody. This is Fenton Khan from PME.
Anyone else from the Corps?
Chris Budai.
And then anyone else I have not, or we have not heard from? All right, looks like I just saw Jeremy Romer join from ODFW.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I guess we'll move on. Any updates to the agenda? Okay, moving on to approve minutes from our meeting that was a combo for November and December. I did receive comments from ODFW and then others. Didn't receive comments from NIMS or Fish and Wildlife Service or others. Didn't know if folks had anything to add to the minutes before we finalize them.
I didn't have anything. This is Melissa. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Okay, there were no action items, so we'll move on to updates. The North Centennial, Greg, you're on.
All right, up at Marion Forest, everything's going well. We actually have, according to Snowtel, about 118% of normal of snow. It's more of an ice block up there, but everything's going well. We brought all the North Centennial smolts that are all down at Minto. So fish up at Marion Forest were probably about 10 to 14 days away from ponding the 2021s. So far, they had low BPD and great survival. So we'll pond them inside here in the next couple weeks. Everything else is going up good up there. Minto, everything's going well. We've got all the smolts down. They're a little smaller than usual, just from some issues last summer up at Marion Forks, but we'll plan a release probably early March, and then our second release will be early April. No issues or problems with health of those. We collected our first winter steelhead last week. There's only six over Bennett, so hopefully we'll get some more coming up. But other than that, everything's good.
Thanks, Greg. Any maintenance items to mention?
No. Well, the only really thing ongoing is the truck was taken over to Lookout Point. They're going to upgrade that the other side of the truck with guardrails and OSHA-approved grip struts. So hoping to have that back in a couple of weeks. And then the only real maintenance issue for Minto is there's a little bit of a hole in the heat exchanger for the compressor for our air burst system. We're currently on our backup. If that was to have problems, we could go over and go back and use the original one. It just has a leak in the heat exchanger. But one's on order. There's 4 to 6 weeks out. So anyways, we're getting that taken care of also.
All right. Any other questions for Greg?
All the safety environmental stuff from the evaluation site check last September, everything that was on our list has been completed. So
thanks for the update. Any questions or comments for Greg?
Hey, just a comment from me. This is Bob Wertheimer. Hey, thanks, Greg, for taking care of all those ergo findings. Really appreciate it. Some of the stuff I know. Some of the outstanding issues were stuff that had already been addressed. Thank you for cleaning everything up. It's appreciated. Over.
No problem.
Anything else? All right. We'll move on to the Salsinium. I know Brett couldn't make it, so I assume, Ryan, you're on.
Hey, Chris, I do believe Brett is on, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he had mentioned he wouldn't be able to make it, so I must have missed it.
Oh, yeah. Are you there, Brett? Hello?
There
you
go.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett. Oh, you got me? Okay. I can talk for a little while or listen for a little while, then I got to run some eggs over to Willamette. But anyway, Salsinium, everything's going well. Both stocks are doing fine, no disease issues. We're getting ready to release one of the spring components of our Chinook release group, 300,000, or I guess about 260,000, something like that. We're going to release those end of this month, and they're looking good. They're in size. The fish down below, we have 300,000 down there. They're still a little, they're about 10 to pound, so we're going to get those up to 9. And it'd be good to spread those releases out a little bit. And we're still working through the steelhead eggs. We've got one more spawn scheduled, and that'll wrap it up. And then we'll be able to shut Foster down for that, sounds like that equivalent installation that you guys have scheduled, and then for the general maintenance period. And our fry hatched, steelhead fry hatched, they're in the stacks. And just a reminder, you know, we're still kind of working through the steelhead eggs, but it's coming out to be about a 30% shortage across the board. So we're kind of dealing with that and trying to allocate those eggs accordingly. Over at Foster, things are going well. We've trapped two wild winters so far, both females that we hauled up to Riverbend, and we were able to kind of get in the site. Still a lot of erosion there. We had to move a few things around, but we were able to get a truck close enough to the pipe to get those fish released. And that's about it.
Thanks, Brett. Does it still sound like that work that you guys planned last year is going to happen this year in regards to getting that site where it needs to be?
I'll let Ryan tackle that one. He's been in contact with them more than I have. It looks like it got postponed, but we're hoping next year. Is that correct, Brian?
Yeah. They had to do some additional surveying and work, I think, some archaeological survey there at the site on the county property. And so that pushed it out, pushed out the work window in 21, so it wasn't completed, but is, you know, is kind of on target to be completed in 22 during the in-water work period.
Thanks for the update. Any questions or comments for the Celsinium? Okay, moving on to the McKinsey. Colby?
Good morning. So I'll start with our hatch house. Looks like we're going to be ponding probably this weekend, maybe early next week. Everything looks pretty dang good. One thing that I'm noticing is there seems to be a lot more genetic deformity in the fish that we spawned at Leeburg as opposed to the fish that we spawned at Salsanium. Don't know if that there's anything there, but just have it recorded for definitely seeing the difference between the two. Release wise, we're going to start doing our first release today. We're starting a sampling today. They may be just a tad small due to the past PKD that they had. They're a little tougher to grow them over the summer when they had the PKD. They do look pretty good though. I mean, the majority, if not all, have smolted. And as of now, they're in good health. Other than that, everything else is normal here at the hatchery.
Any questions or comments for Colby? All right, we will move on to Cougar Fish Facility.
Hey, Chris. Not a lot to report on up at Cougar. Facility still shut down for the wintertime, but we are scheduled to open the facility March 14th or 15th. About all I have. No outstanding maintenance issues that I'm aware of, other than trying to get the propane tank for the emergency generator. Trying to get that scheduled to get refilled. So that's all I have for Cougar.
All right, questions?
Yeah, I have a question. If I can go back to Brett the South Sania. I'm sorry, my computer is doing updates and it's slow. Brett, over the last 5-10 years, you've done a great job advancing this spawn timing in the summer steelhead hatchery program, and with the problems that you had on the shortages this year, what did you end up for completion of the spawn for summers?
So we're still working on it, but they did start really early this year. We could have gone in before Thanksgiving and spawned. So, and actually, like, the percentage of the ripe fish was really high for that point of time in November. Anyway, that was on a good note. And on a good year, I think we would have really finished up early. But since we're scrapping for every egg, I think we've got about 15, 16 pairs left, and we're going to spawn in this, like, 2nd of February. It'll be our last one. But we were able to pretty much all of the eggs that were taken before January 1st are for the Saniams and the Willamette, upper Willamette facilities. With a few of the later eggs, we'll have to go to Roaring River, to the Coast Fork. But all the later egg takes, they're smaller, and so we're going to combine those, and those will go for the Clackamas and Sandy releases.
Okay, great. Thanks for the info. That makes sense.
You bet.
Or anything else on that before we move on? All right, moving on to the Middle Fork Willamette Hatchery, Dan.
Yeah, everything's good here. Fish health is doing well. We got a little bit of internal fungus in the Chinook fry. We ended up right after ponding having that big flood, and so we always see that after a huge silt up in the ponds. We're going to lose a few there, but nothing out of the ordinary. Smolts are all doing well at Dexter. They're all on schedule. Rainbow are doing well, getting ready to start moving fish over to Foster here in a little bit, or over to the South San Ian. Other than that, our ergo findings, we took care of all those, and that's about it.
Thanks, Dan. Questions for Dan, and I want to apologize for not sharing the agenda, but I'm going to share it now.
Hey, Dan, it's Bob, Wertheimer. I just want to quick make sure people are tracking our shortage because of reductions in brood that we had this year and potential effects this year when we get to releases. I realize it's well before, but I imagine the Hills Creek release again this year of the 100K fingerlings is probably not scheduled to go down. And the reason I bring it up is because there's that nexus with the injunction and the RM&E that's required for the screw trapping. So I just want to make sure those updates are coming through. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, there won't be any going into Hills Creek for sure.
Will that be the same for the Coast Fork target releases, do you think?
We are still going to, on schedule right now, we are going to put about 100,000 into the Coast Fork, but it won't be the full 267.
Thanks for the update, Dan. Always.
Any other questions for Willamette Hatchery or for Dan?
Hey, Chris, this is Ryan. I'm not sure if now is the right time or if there's a spot later in the agenda, but I did have a question, I guess, for you or anybody else on the call that might have an update for us on Dexter in terms of the rebuild and maybe a status update on that.
Yeah, I can give you a quick update. They were planning on presenting or at least bringing forth information for folks to take a look at the February limit fish facility design group, but it sounds like it's going to be postponed to March. That's really all I have, unless there are specific questions you may have and I may or may not be able to answer.
Nothing additional. Thanks.
All right. Moving on to Fall Creek Fish Facility.
Hi, Chris. Hi, everybody. This is Doug Arliss. Fall Creek is just in its winter dormancy. Not really any issues there as far as maintenance. The biggest thing I can see is the delay in opening the facility due to litigation and the restricting the pool elevation at Fall Creek Reservoir. We are on gravity water there, and we get down into below 728, and we can't run the facility. So Greg may want to speak to that, but that's about all I have.
All right, anything to add, Greg? If you're talking, you're on mute.
I was double muted, damn it. So just to give people a little bit of background, what's going on here, I think folks are aware that the litigation, one of the elements of the litigation is 15 actions that are being worked by, in quotes, I'll put it in quotes, expert panel, that is helping the court define the details around operations that the court cited in their final order. So an example would be something like spring downstream passage at Green Peter. And so one of those was an item, a downstream passage item in the spring at Fall Creek. The way that has worked out is it's essentially a delayed refill. And so Fall Creek normally would start refill from elevation 728 on the 1st of February, and then fill around the middle of May by at elevation around 830 in a normal year. So that is not what's happening this year. It's not anything close to that. And so what's going to happen, we will be and are holding a pool elevation around elevation 700 right now, so about 28 feet below minimum conservation pool. That'll be held through at least mid-March. In mid-March, which is the normal opening time of the facility, we'll begin a slow refill, which is targeted to be completed to elevation 728 by mid-April. So I anticipate that the facility will be late in opening by about a month. This shouldn't affect spring Chinook. It will affect winter steelhead collection there and transport. And then I think the big thing for this group to watch out for is that after mid-April, the pool is actually held down at minimum conservation through mid-May. And I think the key thing to understand there is that if we don't accrue significant storage after mid-May, the facility will shut early because we will be releasing a minimum flow that the facility requires, around 100 CFS. Inflows to Fall Creek can drop well below 100 CFS easily during the summertime. So we'll be using storage, and at some point we would then drop below 728 and the facility will not be operational. This was all pointed out, but doesn't matter because the decision was made to do this and we're going to do it. And so, yeah, just be aware that if we don't accrue storage after the mid-May time frame or significant amount of storage after the mid-May time frame, that we will likely shut the facility early in 2022.
Questions or comments on that?
Yeah, Greg, this is Lance. So early, what would be the anticipation of early?
Yeah, it all depends, Lance, on what Mother Nature delivers. If Mother Nature delivers 2021 again, we're going to be in real trouble, tons of trouble. The facility operate for a very small window. Obviously, we're hoping that that's not the case. I don't know. You know, if you have a 2011, a really wet year, we would probably not have a problem at all. We'd probably have full operational capability, although a much reduced pool. So I think it just totally depends. Just looking at some of the average conditions, you know, I think a July, August kind of thing. So the good news is that, you know, the way that wild fish population or the naturally produced fish population comes back to that facility, you know, it's on the early side. You know, really only 10% of the return is July, August, September, October. So, you know, the lion's share of the fish should get passed, hopefully, one way or the other.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that. I guess you guys will be monitoring that and being able to observe fish in the tail race throughout the summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions or comments on that? All right, we'll move on to research updates. Fenton, I don't know if you had anything. I thought I saw an email this morning or yesterday, and Rachel did send an update.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, thanks, Chris. Well, you already said it, and Greg already said it too. Right now, all of our research is being put into planning and implementing studies for the court injunction. So Greg mentioned Green Peter Foster. We're planning studies of Green Peter and Foster this spring, and then a whole heap of other studies throughout the year, including screw trapping. That's all for the updates. And then for Fitterwig, Chris, you already mentioned it. I canceled a February Fitterwig meeting because we don't have anything to update. We only have one active PDT, design engineering design team right now, which is Dexter, but they're not ready to have a meeting with the Fitterwig or discuss anything. There's still a lot of internal coordination and a vetting process going on. So more to come on that. Right now, I have the placeholder for the March 1 or March 2nd Fitterwig, and maybe the Dexter team will be ready to discuss. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Yeah, the only thing
I had
was Rachel sent me an update in regards to a modeling exercise where they're assessing mortality in Lookout Point Reservoir being done by USGS, and then I guess OSU submitting a report on gill damage from copepods. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but it sounds like it's in the review process.
Yeah, those two updates were actually through the RM&E team. I didn't mention them here because I didn't think that this was any kind of coordination or FPOM related. But yes, we do have the two studies that are the reports that are out for review. Or one is being worked on and the other one is out for review.
And then one more thing I had, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was curious about, I know last year we had talked about the pedigree work that was going to be done, and we had talked about the contract was going to be awarded. I assume it had been awarded, but I'm not sure if it had been or not,
Yeah, I can give an update because I think that's something folks here are interested in. So, yeah, after wading through eyeball deep issues with the contract for the pedigree work last year, it was awarded. We had to change gears and award it from to Oregon State University. And so they started working on the pedigree data last fall. And right now the projection is they're going to have a preliminary update for us sometime this spring. I don't know a date. They're still waiting through the data, but they're hoping to have some updates for us this spring. And then more information later on in the spring into the summer. So we'll be updating both the RM&E team and this FPOM team as we have information. But stay tuned. We should be getting an update from OSU sometime later on this spring.
Thanks, Fenton.
Yep.
All right.
Questions from anybody?
Yeah, Fenton, this is Lance. So is the North State Yam samples on the top of the list?
Yes, Lance. I'd have to go back and dig through the priorities, but whatever Rich coordinated with you a while ago, that's how they're being analyzed. And I believe I'm 99.999% sure North Sanium is at the top of the list.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That'll probably be the first update we get later on this spring in the next couple of months or so.
Great. Good news.
Yeah. It's whatever that list that Rich had sent to you a while ago. Like I said, I can probably go back, dig through my email if people want to know, but that's the plan.
All right. We'll move on to water quality updates. Norm, I didn't know if you had anything.
Yeah, good morning. This is Norm. I don't see anybody else from my section on, so I'll give an update here. Most reservoirs are passing inflow, and we'll be starting to refill on the 1st of February. So right now, outflows be TDG there, hovering around 110% TDG currently. And then with operations, I'm just looking at Selena's last email summarizing operations. There's some reduced outflow at Hills Creek. There's a ROV inspection because of a trash rack clamshell that got stuck, so they reduced outflows there, hoping to deal with that. So I think Greg and Chris Wren have been involved with that one. And yeah, it's continued low pool at Fall Creek also. There's probably some other injunction measures that I'm forgetting here. And Greg, maybe you could fill that in if there's any other updates for this group. Over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can just speak to a couple that have, you know, potential water quality ramifications. I think people are aware there's a delayed refill operation at Cougar that is scheduled. And so right now, the way that's going to look is keep the pool around minimum conservation, and then the pool actually go down to 1520 from 1532 around mid-March. So it's actually going to go down. And then the refill is based on timing, is based on set of conditions that we laid out in the implementation plan. You can read up on that, but it's adaptive. So, you know, the refill start date is dependent on those conditions as laid out. But it roughly between, on the early side would be mid-April. That would be sort of disastrous because that means it would be really, really dry. On the back side, that refill would start more like mid-May. And, you know, the goal there is to try to accrue at least the 20,000 inch you need to get up to the elevation in Cougar Reservoir to operate the temperature control tower.
Can you hear sort of the beep, sweetheart?
If you don't do that, you have dramatic impacts on water quality. And
stop
so,
okay.
You know, there's a risk there. We're trying to make sure that doesn't happen, but we're taking a risk, calculated risk. And so just understand if we don't accrue that 20,000 acre feet, that what we're going to see is really dramatically colder temperatures for the summer, and then much elevated temperatures in the fall and winter, because we won't operate the tower, and so it'll be like we don't have it. So it'll be going back to the way things used to be. There are also operations at that are being worked for spill at several of the projects. Of course, what we've always done at Detroit, that one will start a little bit earlier than, you know, some of the previous operations of the past. There's also a spill operation that's scheduled for Green Peter. That's primarily supposed to be a fish passage operation, but of course, because it's taken surface spill, will then have ramifications on temperature, depending on the kind of temperature, air temperatures that we're getting and water temperatures. Some of those are early enough that there shouldn't be big changes, but there's still spill operations and there's potential water quality effects. And then Lookout Point, same thing. Spill operation there that's, really targeting downstream juvenile passage, but again, we'll also have this effect of potentially warming the releases downstream of the dam during that time.
Greg, do you think that those, with all the snow measures that are going to happen this spring, do you think that'll, I mean, it'll probably have an effect on the Willamette River temperatures, and do you feel like maybe that'll get those fish over the falls sooner? Spring snow?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Brett. I would say that the effect, I think what we know from, and I'll step in this, you know, big piece of doo-doo here, trying to explain this right, and Norm can correct me since he did this work. But basically, the further away from the dams that you go, the more muted the effect is of the release temperature at the dam. And so when you get to a place like Willamette Falls, you're far enough away that the release temperatures themselves from the dam, I wouldn't say is the primary driver. The primary driver there is going to be, you know, what we're doing with flow, and then what, you know, this combination of flow and air temperatures essentially are things that are going to be the most important pieces and parts. So again, if we're, you know, think back to what good old 2021, you know, we're so dry, so the flow piece was really, really low. And then at times we had some really warm temperatures, so you saw that. I think that's what's going to drive it. Conversely, if we're, you know, in an abundant water year, there's lots of flow, we're still getting precip, things are going to run cooler, the fish are going to run later. So I don't believe so, Brett, that will necessarily happen down at Willamette Falls. I think to the extent that fish are up in the tributaries, based on whatever the timing is over Willamette Falls, that's where you'll see some potential effect, or you should, right? And so, you know, closer up to the dams, at the facilities themselves, depending on which sub-basin we're talking about, which facility, and what's actually happening there with the litigation, then I think you see that effect, but it's a little more localized, if that makes sense.
I totally appreciate the explanation. Then do you think Green Peter, like Green Peter and Lookout, will have the potential to fill with the spill plan?
Yeah, I would say that in some ways the litigation does, and sometimes it in some ways it doesn't affect the elevations themselves. So I think specifically to Green Peter, you know, what basically going to happen there is you're going to get up to the spillway crest in March, and then you're going to be doing some continuous spill for roughly 30 days. So, you know, that spring window, there's going to be spill there. But I think what's undefined in the implementation plan is the elevation at which you actually hold the reservoir there. So I think given the nature of what's trying to be achieved there, in that you're trying to do surface spill, you don't really want to put a ton of head over that spillway gate, right? And so what I'm expecting is that we'll land, you know, on some sort of range over the spillway crest itself that we hold. And there's multiple reasons to do that. You don't want to be right at spillway crest, because if you do that, it's operationally, it's really, really difficult. So you always want to give it a little bit of a cushion. But if I had to guess, I would think we're going to land, you know, I don't know, 5 to 15 feet, let's say, over spillway crest as a place that we should hold that. So we will accrue some storage over spillway crest, but at Green Peter specifically, you know, if then you're kind of holding down in that range, that does affect your ability to completely fill. But then after we've completed this continuous spill, then we wouldn't have that same, you know, surface and continuous spill requirement. And so you could continue to put some head over that gate and then accrue more storage at that point, if it were available, right? So that again will be driven by what Mother Nature does, and we can all hope to get some rain later in the year this year. But yeah, so that's a long way of saying it kind of depends on the conditions, and that at Green Peter specifically, there will be this lag where, or kind of pause in refill, where we hold the pool during that continuous spill for some period of time.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions or comments on that? Thanks, Greg. Moving on, BPA updates. I don't know if we have anyone on from BPA. If we do, speak now. If not, we'll move on. Okay. Moving on to HGMP biop terms and conditions. On the screen, I have Bennett counts. No real update there. That's something that the state's doing. The other thing I have to say is I'm not getting those emails anymore, and I don't know if I just got added the one time and it didn't get added back to the list, but if Ryan or whoever can mention it to Bart, that'd be awesome. I could probably guess his new email address, but I don't have it currently. So.
Hey, Chris, I'll follow up with Bart.
Thanks.
Yep.
And then next item, Lebanon counts. Bob, did you have anything on that?
Yeah, it's the same update as last month, Chris. We're waiting on the design and installation of the pit detection before we can follow in, because we've got to make sure if we go in with fish counting that our systems don't interfere with pit collection, which is the priority because of the injunction. Over.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Chris, Bob, if I can just give a quick update on that just for awareness. I am working with the small pit antenna PDT for Lebanon Dam, and right now we're still working through the details, so we're just kind of starting up. But right now the plan is to have the antennas designed by an antenna expert and installed this summer. We can only install the antennas during low flow, low river flows, which is generally around September. So the target date to install these antennas is around September, maybe early October of this year.
Thanks, Fenton.
Yeah, Fenton, thank you for that update. Can you share the design with us when you get to that point? And I realize we're a ways off, but and I know you will. Thanks for your work on this, Fenton. Over.
Sure, yep.
Questions on that? Moving on to labor counts. Bob,
so I'll give a quick update. This is Bob. Yeah. So right now, EWEB is working on the soft and firmware on the count, basically the computers and the camera systems. The issue is the newer fish ticks that they installed wasn't working well, so they went with the prior iteration, which is 2.6.3. They've successfully installed that in one of the ladders. The issue is the computer system and the other ladder wouldn't accept it, so what they're doing is they're going back to the older computer system, which they still have on hand, and they're going to get that installed. We just got the update from Andrew Janos of EWEB, as well as Ashley, who is on Colby's staff there at the McKenzie. And I don't know if Jeff's on the phone, because I know Jeff's really interested in making sure that counts continue through the non-summoned period for all the other species that are moving up and down through Leeburg. Jeff, are you on the call?
I don't see him, but he could be one of those phone numbers.
Jeff is not on the call, but Jeremy's here. Did you have a specific question?
No, I just didn't know if Jeff wanted to add anything else, or Jeremy, you want to add anything else, just because We know these counts are important. Just going back to the scope that we have, we worked out that we would count some on as basically March through September. So when Jeff asked me what's going on with counts right now, I didn't know. And Stephen hadn't been up there in a while, so I just want to make sure we're following through on this. Over.
Yeah, we're just kind of in the same spot as everybody else. We're kind of in a holding pattern, but trying to get, you know, something that works in there as soon as possible. Because like you mentioned, you know, those other fish species are, and their movement is important also. So, yeah, we're just kind of waiting to see how that all shakes out with eWeb first, and then we'll go from there.
And just so everybody's tracking, eWeb is, Andrew's giving us a write-up kind of their plan forward so we can comment on that the way he kind of framed it is. An informal agreement's great when everything's working well, but when things don't start breaking down, your infrastructure is older, that's when a more formal agreement needs to be worked. So we are working this on the side. eWeb's going to provide us kind of their plan forward so we can work together and try and make sure that counting is accomplished at Leeward. Over.
Anything else on that? All right, next item in regards to reducing PHAS and the Lieberg sorter. I don't really have anything to add except that Jeff Ziller did provide kind of the plan for operations this year. It is posted to the website, but if you want me to send it out, I can also do that. But that's all I have unless anyone else has any sort of update on the Lieberg sorter or related to 5.6. Okay, moving on. Fenton already updated on the genetic pedigree. Moving on to 5.14. I put this back on, or made it black for folks, knowing that now this report that's in the 2019 hatchery biop is due sometime in 2022. I assume it's December 31st. But again, this is an item where ODFW is supposed to put together this report in collaboration with the Corps, so putting it on folks' radar, being 2022. And if there are any questions or comments, let me know. More to come on that. All right, moving on to Willamette Valley production contracts, the first being Willamette Hatcheries. A couple different things going on. The first, I'm working on a modification to the contract to include outplanting above Green Peter Dam. Along with that mod included fish for Harmony, and there are some issues in regards to the shortage at Willamette Hatchery. So trying to work through that, knowing it's in the current contract, also knowing it's in the screw trap contract, so trying to reconcile that issue. I'll likely be contacting you, Ryan, and Jeff to figure out a path forward on that. I know I've been working with our contracting office to figure out path forward, so more to come on that as well. Also, continuing to work with our contracting to award the first option year target award date. And actually has to be awarded by February 28th, so those options don't expire. So working that as well. Any comments on that contract? All right. Next item is this trout production contract. This doesn't need to be awarded, or at least the next option, until next September, so I may gray it out for next time. But trout stocking is ongoing. Anything to add from anyone, or questions or comments? Okay, moving on to coordination notification forms. The first ongoing is in regards to valve work that needs to be done on the turbine units at Cougar in 2023. coordinated this early, so we'll leave it on there so it doesn't get dropped off. So not a whole lot to talk about there. We've talked about it a lot already. In regards to new memorandums, we had a ramp rate deviation at Blue River. I sent that out towards the end of December. We also had a ramp rate at Dexter, and I don't recall the date. I should have written it down, but I did not. Hills Creek, we had a minimum flow deviation, which we believe it was during a changeover when we were going from generation to spill. It happened during the time when that would normally occur. And then the first Foster outage memorandum is in regards to radio telemetry equipment that needs to be installed on February 8th and 9th. So units will be down for that. And then the next one is in regards to debris building up on the trash rack on the units. So we want to get that cleaned off. We're planning on doing that February 1st so that we don't have a forced/unplanned outage. So want to get that debris off. And I know I went kind of fast, but are there any questions on any of these memorandums?
Yeah, this is Jeremy. I had one quick question. The shutdown is scheduled for Hills Creek to install telemetry equipment. Was that correct?
That would be Foster.
That's a Foster. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments on those? Okay, moving on to task group slash PDT updates. The first being the Willamette Valley Operational Fish Passage Majors PDT. Greg touched on almost all of them. The only other thing I could think, and I don't recall if it's actually a part of the injunction or not, but we will be spilling at Foster in February for a spill operation. Other than that, that's all I have for PDT updates. All right. Last, the fish operations plan. I put out a request back in December for change forms. So any changes we want to see in the fish operations plan, please submit those to myself. They're due by February 15th. We plan on going through those in March to get them into the plan by April 1st. Any questions or comments on that?
Hey, Chris, this is Nathan. Could you repeat the due dates on that?
Yeah, February 15th.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts, questions, or comments before we get on with our day? Hearing none. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for using WebEx. Visit our